1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Mark Remillard. Israeli tanks and troops storming positions in Gaza backed by relentless airstrikes.
Israel calling this the second phase in its war against Hamas, its ground forces pushing deeper into the Gaza Strip. The IDF releasing videos they say shows what they call an expansion of ground activities inside Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, meanwhile, telling the Israeli people this will be a long and difficult war. On Friday, internet and communications in the Gaza Strip were knocked out, numerous aid agencies unable to contact their teams, people unable to contact their families. According to a local provider, those services are now gradually being restored. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Jerusalem.
The federal judge overseeing former President Trump's election interference case reimposing a narrow gag order on Trump, barring him from publicly talking about prosecutors, court staff, and potential witnesses. More than 1,000 people gathering at a church in Lewiston, Maine, Sunday to remember the 18 people killed in Wednesday's mass shootings. This is ABC News. Finding history amid historic drought. ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
Reaching historic lows because of drought, waters of the major tributary that runs through the Brazilian Amazon, the Rio Negro. Carvings previously hidden underwater are now seen for the first time in millennia, say archaeologists. Deeply etched into the black rock along the riverbanks are human faces, animals, and other figures. They're 1,000 to 2,000 years old, says Brazil's National Historic and Artistic Heritage Institute. It says other rocks at the site may have been used to sharpen arrows and stone tools. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The United Auto Workers Union expanding its strike against General Motors, the last of the big three automakers to reach a deal with the union. Workers walked off the job at GM's Spring Hill, Tennessee plant, the company's largest in North America. The walk-off came just hours after a deal was reached between the UAW and Jeep maker Stellantis. A deal had earlier been reached with Ford. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pay raises for district attorneys and public defenders appear to be having the desired effect. Vacancies are down since the raises went into effect July 1st. Wisconsin District Attorneys Association President Eric Tony tells Wisconsin Public Radio that morale is also better. Public defenders say much the same about retention and morale. Now, Tony says he wants lawmakers to create more prosecutor jobs to help lighten the workload. Tomorrow is Prescription Drug Takeback Day in Wisconsin. People who have old prescription drugs sitting around the medicine cabinet can bring them to one of 140 events happening around the state. There are also nearly 500 drop boxes where people can leave their old medicine anytime. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin is consistently one of the national leaders in the safety effort, and it makes a difference. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers lose to Ohio State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers kept it close Saturday night at Camp Randall Stadium before losing to the Buckeyes 24-10. Last year, Wisconsin lost to Ohio State 52-21, head coach Luke Fickell.
Because of last year, because of some of those things that can creep into your head mentally,
about what has happened in the past. I thought it was really important for us to come out and play well, especially in the first quarter, and following a plan and doing that and getting into the fourth quarter, and then fourth quarter comes and we can't execute.
Badgers running back Braylon Allen left the game at halftime and was spotted wearing a walking boot on his left foot. NFL, the Packers lost to the Vikings 24-10. Green Bay's offense making several mental mistakes. Because the Packers offense is such a young team, is that any excuse for losing four in a row? Linebacker Preston Smith.
I'm not an enabler, so I don't believe in, you know, the age thing. We all been playing football for a long time. I just feel like, you know, youth is an excuse, and I feel like we just got to go out there and execute.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies and quiet overnight with a low of 27. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 37. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, chance of snow, 26. About an inch of snow Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 33.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday happy hour. We fooled you. We're in Waukesha instead. We're in the 540 AM studios, and now we've been joined by a fine guest. Her name, Diane Anderson. She is a recently declared Democrat for the 1st Congressional District. That's the seat currently held by Republican Brian Steil. Diane, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for coming down to Waukesha.
Yeah, thank you, Diane.
And Bob for fighting the traffic. I understand the traffic's a mess out there.
It's always crazy out there.
It is. So, Diane, obviously, well, may not be obvious to you, but we do grievances on Friday, and I would suspect you might have a problem with the current representative in the first CD, Brian Steil. Or yeah. Why else would you run against them?
Well, I do. Actually, I wanted to run against Paul Ryan for a long time ago. My husband was in local politics. He was an alderman in the city of Racine when Paul was, you know, in the current seat. And I hung out with a lot of those people, and most of the politicians were men. And, you know, I had been strongly encouraged to, you know, run at the time. Yeah. But I'm always multitasking two jobs. I was a nursing faculty member at Gateway Technical College, as well as worked as a nurse practitioner specializing in diabetes. So, and you know, I had a few more years before I could get that good state retirement. And so I didn't venture out at that time, but this time, you know, it's just ripe, you know, because like, you know, somebody was saying a little bit earlier, isn't Steil the coffee man? Paul Ryan?
Well, that might be an overestimation of his worth, but isn't that his qualification? I mean, he was like Paul Ryan's staffer, and he got the guy coffee and drove him around town, and, you know, he was a good Republican kid, so they put the fundraising apparatus behind him, and they turned him into a congressman. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I don't see any other qualifications per se there.
Well, you know, he is an attorney, and there are an awful lot of attorneys in the House of Congress.
I just came back from D.C. A lot of lawyers in that town.
And I did check it out before I officially put my name in to run. And there are three nurses. I believe there's a nurse in Texas, and I don't know if this is 100% correct, but that is maybe not going to run. She's going to retire. There is a nurse practitioner from Illinois, and she actually helped on the Obamacare changes. And then there would be me, a nurse practitioner, diabetes specialist, running. Also, I'm a diabetes prevention coach officially. I helped start that program at the national level.
Why do I feel like you're looking at me in my diet goo over here?
No.
I'm wearing black, Crudy. You know, it's slimming over here. Diane, that's very interesting. Obviously, a lot of attorneys in Congress. Lots of millionaires in Congress. Lots of folks been there for
no
a while.
Tengo dinero.
And a few chubby guys with probably type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, yeah. So you could do very well there, Diane.
Yeah, we scout them out in the grocery store, let me tell you, the people who have pre-diabetes, and my children did too. It was kind of embarrassing for them. Mom, don't say anything when you go in the grocery store when you look at people. And it's not prejudicial or anything, but, you know, we are overburdened in our society by people that are overweight. And if you have diabetes, if it's in the family, as you age, if you eat the right foods, if you don't exercise enough, you have a very high chance of getting type 2 diabetes or adult onset diabetes. So, yeah, but that's, you know, that's just one thing. That's one small thing in our political spectrum.
Oh, the insulin. Didn't Biden reduce the insulin charge?
Yes.
At least Medicare's ability to cap insulin costs.
Right.
To,
what he did is he got a company to make biosimilars for less money. And then in the meantime, and, you know, I don't want to say too much negative about the pharmaceutical industry, because without the pharmaceutical industry, we would not have some of these wonderful medications that are saving our lives. However, we do pay more in this country than in other countries for the same products, you know, and that's a problem for so many people. And those medications that got approved by Biden, I don't know if it was on a list of like maybe 6 to 10 or something like that. One of those medications, I know somebody who takes them, and it costs $350 a month. It's a blood thinner. And, you know, finally they're going
to
give it
cost
on this
to
one.
Consumer or cost to produce? Because a lot of those $350 cost to produce, they're selling for $50,000 to the consumer.
No, well, I have not investigated it.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
I mean, $350 out of your grocery money the month means you could lose a lot of weight very quickly if you were overweight and had to take that medication.
Diane Anderson, she is a Democrat running in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. So what's your sense? I'm obviously talking about pharmaceuticals, and you're a nurse practitioner and a teacher. Medicare for all, expanding Obamacare. What's your sense on how we have, as a country, assessed and dealt with health care?
Well, it's just crazy. I mean, when you go to graduate school, the first thing that you always did is you went to the European literature, hey, back when we had to go to the stacks and it wasn't just right all on the phone.
Right.
And so
microfiche.
You would get it. Yes. And you would get it because they have socialized medicine, in so many countries. And that's where you get the better literature because they have the pool of people to draw from, you know, to get the evidence-based research. One of the biggest things that got me is when the past president came and wiped out certain words that the NIH could not say. And one of them was evidence-based.
Well, why would you want facts and evidence?
No, and if
that
you...
That works against their data.
If you go on my website, ANDERSONWIFIRST.com, you will see that one of my tenets in there is that, you know, we do have to have health care that has all these qualities that they teach you, you know, should be equitable, cost-efficient, evidence-based, etc. And we do not have a health care system in this country. It's helter-skelter.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We've got a fine guest in studio, in the Shaw. She is Diane Anderson, running for the first CD. That's Racine, Kenosha, a lot of the Lake Country there, covered by both WRJN and WAUK. So the rest of you, you know, we're still trying to represent here. But this is a competitive district, unlike most of the Republican-controlled districts. And despite the redistricting efforts of Republicans, this is still perceived to be a competitive district. But it hasn't played out that way. And I think Steil overperformed in his first election and really hasn't done anything with the job. I think anyone in the Republican Party after this last chaotic 3 weeks of no speaker has got to be feeling a little more vulnerable. First and foremost, Diane Anderson, what was your impression of the leadership? I mean, I think Steil went from supporting Jordan to Scalise on to the new guy, MAGA Mike.
What happened to Emmer? Was Emmer there too? We don't know where he went with Emmer, but now there's MAGA Mike. I mean, what, we're on the fourth or fifth pick. You want to be in the House. You want to be in Congress. What was your sense on how they handled this?
They're a bunch of immature people. Mostly men, but there are some women there that were shouting out inappropriately, not professional. I'm a professional woman. But I just thought that the behavior was totally inappropriate. It took up the time for us to make our country move forward. I knew this was going to happen. And why the one man who was not an election denier dropped out so quick?
Emmer.
Yeah, what's wrong? What happened
well,
there?
Well, Trump targeted him. Trump did not want
oh,
the
I
guy
know
that stood up for facts.
But, I mean, that quickly he dropped out and, you know, didn't even give it the one vote, did he?
I'm less clear. Diane, I was walking around D.C. chasing my tail for
well,
a few days.
And, you know, the Republicans are generally saying, you know, we're the party of law and order. You know, I would doubt that. Family values, I would doubt that. And fiscal conservatism, I would doubt that as well. I mean, Donald Trump added more to the national debt than any president ever.
Yeah, if you want me to read what I wrote about him, I said, here,
yeah,
steal,
please.
Steal.
She's done her homework now.
He is big on saying we spend too much, yet he, when he was when the former president was in office, he ran up the largest budget in U.S. history, the largest deficit in U.S. history, the largest debt in U.S. history, and he voted for it all. Besides that, Steele helped put in place a Supreme Court that decimated women's health care choice. When his party leader said he had no problem suspending the Constitution, he said nothing.
Terrible.
Diane, before we run out of time, about 2 minutes left, abortion rights, as a health care provider and as a candidate for the first CD, where do you stand on this topic?
Well,
and
I
believe, intrinsic might it be to your candidacy?
It is between a woman and her health care provider. If the woman is making choices with their partner, it's between her and her partner and their family. However, the woman wants it to be. And their health care provider. Look up the American College of Gynecology and Obstetrics, their statement. I'm going to be putting it on my website tonight. The providers of health care have to have safety in providing evidence-based, safe health care. The woman has the right to choose.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate. She is Diane Anderson. Diane, give them your website again so they can go find out more about your campaign.
Well, thank you very much. It's very simple. It's Anderson with an O-N, A-N-D-E-R. S-O-N. W-I. First.
That's one S-T.
One S-T.
Yes.
.com. And the reason I made it that long is because I want that money to coming in from all over the country because we have to win this district. I think we can flip this Democratic. And I think with me as a woman, going for a woman's right to choose to protect the LGBTQ plus community, I think that I can be the winner of this district.
Well, you're off to a good start here on the Devil's Advocates. Thank you, Diane
Thank you,
Anderson.
Diane.
Come on back.
Thank
More
you.
Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, You might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Airing the grievances, you can always join us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank Diane Anderson, a newly declared candidate for the first CD, great state of Wisconsin, a Democrat. Want to thank her for appearing and coming on down to the Waukesha studios. Her and Bob had a rush, take a couple of nice social media photos. We'll feature them later on the Devil's Advocates page. If you haven't liked us yet, I don't know why not. I've been putting up photos from D.C. all week long, Dom.
Now's the time. Diane Anderson, again, Democrat running for Congress, Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. Find her at Anderson, W.I., AnderSonWi1st.com. AndersonWisconsinFirst.com.
Excellent.
Yes.
Now what?
Now what? Well, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, this is starting. The season's on, right? Now, candidates are starting to
come
out.
Game on!
And to have professional women running in this particular cycle, I think, is excellent. I mean, obviously, they're the ones that are impacted most by these abortion laws that Republicans stand on. The Speaker of the House now, he's full on. Aren't these folks, to my understanding, are full on
abortion ban,
national abortion ban? And I think that's a losing message, but it's only a losing message in the sense if you don't get women to run for these positions. So I'm happy Diane's up and running. I would encourage everyone, do it. I mean, we got to engage in this. And I it's easy for me to say this, sitting down on a mic behind it, I'm not the one going door to door. I'm the one filling out the paperwork. I'm the one dealing, talking to the family and making these very difficult decisions to put yourself out there, to go out there and try to do something. But I mean, if this now is not the time, I don't know when would be. With what we're dealing with right now as a country, what we're dealing with right now with this remnants of the Republican Party that's been morphed into this mega machine.
I didn't see you running against Dan Canodal in the special. Yeah. You could have done something, Dom.
Well, maybe I'll do something, Crudy, but maybe I need some of that Leonard Leo money.
844-967-2789. The Soros money never seems to get here.
Oh, man.
Where's the Soros money?
I prefer cash, but I'll take checks.
Dom, I've got a little Friday grievance. This one mostly to tell you how wrong you were before.
Oh, what?
The Raw Story reporting Trump is preparing the ground for a self-pardon if reelected. I know you don't think there is such a thing, but Trump does.
Well, yeah, you could prepare, the world for the flux capacitor because that makes time travel possible. Doesn't make it a thing, but please continue.
Don't make me come across this desk. Donald Trump's actions as his financial fraud trial continues in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And let me interrupt by saying, do you see Ivanka's going to have to give testimony?
That's going to be very interesting.
And the judge said, well, she should have to give testimony in person because she's still doing business in the state of New York. In fact, own multiple real estate and business here. I think she can come on down to the courthouse. That would be the ideal way to give testimony.
Indeed it would.
But that means she'd have to sit across what from her old man.
Oh, I wonder how Donnie's going to handle that.
Oh, he's going to be seething.
The love-hate, man. It's going to be difficult.
It's probably going to affect what she gets for Christmas this year, Dom, I would suspect. Donald Trump's actions as his financial fraud trial continues in Manhattan appear to be serving as a test run for his future trials with the intention of creating a rationale for a self-pardon should he be returned to the Oval Office in 2024. According to the New Yorker's John Cassidy, there are lessons to be learned about from how Trump has conducted himself inside and outside Judge Arthur Engoron's courtroom, where New York Attorney General Letitia James is pursuing her $250 million lawsuit.
Ooh.
And beyond the fact that the incorrigible former president is using media attention to get himself to the in front of the cameras, Cassidy is suggesting that Trump is trying to set the stage for violence should he be on the losing end on this and his other upcoming trials.
You mean more violence, because we've already experienced that. So I would imagine, yes, that would probably happen.
As he writes, Trump is showing up at trial that he doesn't need to attend and is making inflammatory statements to the press, hoping to drown out testimony that's not going his way. Add to that that the former president is working overtime trying to rally his MAGA base. As Cassidy puts it, and here's a quote, as he confronts his accusers, Trump's legal tactics are secondary to his political strategy of discrediting the court and the prosecution in the eyes of his supporters. Only he knows his ultimate goals, but they seem to include raising doubts in advance about any guilty verdicts and planting the idea that such verdicts would be so outrageous that they would lead to unrest and violence. Almost certainly, he's also trying to prepare the ground for a self-pardon, Dom, in the event of a conviction on federal charges against him if he gets reelected. If. That's a big
Come on, man. You know, it's just... We see how fast this world is spinning, and it's going faster and faster and faster. And again, you look at the House a month ago. You know, you look at, of course, we all waited for a year for these charges, for charges to be dropped against Donald Trump. That finally has happened. You know, so these next several, 12, 24 months are going to be very critical. And again, I think. I have no doubt that what this person says in the New Yorker is accurate, because we've already seen the violence, right? January 6th, that was it. I mean, we've seen violence. Hell, and there's the Trump supporters that went after Nancy Pelosi's
Paul,
but after Nancy, and there's anecdotal evidence of that all around. But you see and you hear how the MAGAs are, and Donald Trump himself, he laid down the groundwork for this whole "I was robbed of the election" thing. He was stating it back in February before the election. He knew. Everyone knew. The way he handled the pandemic, the way he handled the economy. I mean, everything. It's hard to think back now, but I mean, just look at the unemployment back then. Look at the GDP back then. It was tough times all around. People lost their jobs. People lost their businesses. You know, people were dying left and right from COVID. He could have handled that better. I'm not to say that's all on him, but a lot of that, he didn't lead by example on that. And what did he do? It was just some bleach on the skin. What? Can you, some of the dumbass things
he put a light bulb up his arse?
But ultimately he does that. He projects and he lays down the lie that he's going to build upon it over and over again. So yes, this is typical Trump. This is how it's going to be. And some people apparently fell for it. I'm hoping that between now and then, less people will fall for it, especially when you see people around him, his attorneys, his supporters, pleading guilty to fraud and to lying to people. Maybe it will eventually sink in.
Dom, here's the one I like today from The Hill. New York Supreme Court Judge Arthur Engoron decided Friday that her dismissal, her being Ivanka Trump, from the case doesn't absolve her of taking the stand after being subpoenaed by the Attorney General's office. Her testimony won't be scheduled before November 1st to give her lawyers time to appeal, but Trump and his adult sons, Don Jr. and Eric, are also expected to testify later in the trial, which began earlier this month. The former president briefly took the stand Wednesday to defend his comments, but the Trump lawyers say of him, Engoron said, "I don't find you to be credible." Dominic Ivanka's lawyers and court documents argued that the New York Attorney General's office doesn't have jurisdiction to force the former president's daughter to testify. She's a Floridian now, like Trump. Trump's legal team also claimed in a court filing the Attorney General is seeking to continue and harass and burden President Trump's daughter long after the First Department mandated she be released from the case. Yeah, except as a witness. War Devils.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Israeli tanks and troops storming positions in Gaza backed by relentless airstrikes.
Israel calling this the second phase in its war against Hamas, its ground forces pushing deeper into the Gaza Strip. The IDF releasing videos they say shows what they call an expansion of ground activities inside Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, meanwhile, telling the Israeli people this will be a long and difficult war. On Friday, internet and communications in the Gaza Strip were knocked out, numerous aid agencies unable to contact their teams, people unable to contact their families. According to a local provider, those services are now gradually being restored. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Jerusalem.
The federal judge overseeing former President Trump's election interference case reimposing a narrow gag order on Trump, barring him from publicly talking about prosecutors, court staff, and potential witnesses. More than 1,000 people gathering at a church in Lewiston, Maine, Sunday to remember the 18 people killed in Wednesday's mass shootings. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge has blocked a move by state lawmakers to remove the state's top election official. Attorney General Josh Call filed the lawsuit after the state Senate voted to remove Megan Wolf from the position. In a court filing, Republican leaders said that the vote was symbolic. While today's motion isn't the final ruling on the matter, the judge ruled that Wolf is allowed to continue serving as the state's election administrator until they make a final decision. Penalties could be on their way up for assaulting or doxing an election official in Wisconsin. A new bipartisan bill would also keep people from looking up clerks' phone numbers or addresses through public records requests. Local clerks from across the country say they're facing more and more harassment since the 2020 presidential election. If the bill becomes law, assaulting an elections clerk could mean 18 months in jail. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies and quiet overnight with a low of 27. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 37. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, chance of snow 26. About an inch of snow Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 32.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, a happier, happy hour. Thank God it's Friday, Dom.
Oh, no doubt, man.
We are hanging out in the 540 AM studios down here in WAUK, the Shaw. We got Anna down here and Waukesha about to take over for Maggie Dawn at 6. You're going to want to stick around for Anna. She's been doing a great job. We got Nate back in the Madison studios, lightly screening your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Dom, I know that we do the grievances and it's your turn, but a quick headline and then right. Where you want to go.
All right.
Because I'm sure my headline is more important than your headline.
Sure it is. It's your gut bag, man. What do you got?
House Speaker Mike Johnson has a pressing task. Keep the government open. Do you think he'll succeed? A little bit here from the Post. New House Speaker Mike Johnson faces immediate challenges to keep the government open, shuttle USA to Ukraine and Israel, approve funding for federal agencies, a pivotal test for a relatively inexperienced speaker who is more focused on, let's call him, social issues than on economic policy during most of his career on Capitol Hill. And a government shutdown looms November 18th if Congress does not pass a short-term funding measure enacting individual appropriations bills that would probably take far too long, as the House and Senate don't agree on much on how much to spend this fiscal year. President Biden has also asked Congress for $106 billion in supplemental foreign aid for Israel and the Ukraine, of course. And Johnson, this guy that you love so much, Dom, he is the guy that's got to keep the trades running, the government open, funding two fronts of wars, or at least U.S. intervention.
Well, that doesn't even include the culture wars.
Oh, yeah, the culture
wars. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, funding those is priceless.
It's worth every penny to Mike Johnson.
So, anyways, just trying to set the stage. We're in these very tense times.
Precarious, perhaps?
Precarious times. You know, not just because it's Friday and Ohio State's coming to town, but also because the government could shut down in 2 or 3 weeks. And based on the example we saw for the month of October, Dom, you know, it's like we got Freddy Krueger running the government. I'm having nightmares over here.
Don't fall asleep, Crudy. Amy Wang reporting over at the Washington Post. Five things Mike Johnson said in his first national TV interview as speaker. Maybe you can help me out on this, Crudy.
Wish, but I'd have to have it up, not have to work hard.
All right, I'll jump in here. House Speaker Mike Johnson gave his first national television interview since winning the Speaker's gavel, sitting down for an hour with Fox News' Sean Hannity. Let's not forget Fox News was, what, found guilty of defamation?
They weren't found guilty. They admitted no guilt.
Oh, okay.
They just stroked almost $1 billion check.
Okay, all right.
See, it's completely
totally different, yes, because they gave money, like Trump, you know, gave money to Stormy Daniels because he didn't have sex with her. Right.
Well, that's how it always works.
I get that. During the interview with Hannity, which aired Thursday night, the newly minted speaker offered his views on a wide range of issues, including the latest mass killing in Maine. Johnson, who previously was a lesser-known conservative, also addressed his first major challenge, ensuring the government is funded before a looming November 17 deadline. Here are some highlights of what Johnson said he believes. Number one, guns are not the problem in mass killings. Of course. Come on, Johnson. All right, here's what he said. Johnson opened his interview by offering condolences to the victims of the mass killing Wednesday night in Lewiston, Maine, in which at least 18 people died in a massive manhunt for the suspected gunman followed.
I think we should offer a trigger warning before you quote the new speaker. When you hear what he said, you're going to throw up in your mouth a little bit.
Okay.
So if you're driving your car, just I hope you got a Tums handy.
Here's a quote from Speaker Johnson. The end of the day, it's the problem is the human heart. It's not the guns. It's not the weapons. At the end of the day, we have to protect the right of the citizens to protect themselves, and that's the Second Amendment. And that's why our party stands so strongly for that. Johnson added it was not the time to be talking legislation because the crisis was ongoing. We're always in a crisis, man. Asked if there was any new gun legislation he would consider, Johnson demurred, saying he had only been on the job for 48 hours. We'll see, he said before reiterating he thought it was not the weapon, it's the underlying issue. And what a crock. What a crock, Mr. Johnson. If the take away the AR-15 or the assault-style weapon, the weapon, and give him a pool noodle. If he was attacking people with a pool noodle, hey, he could have a bad heart. You know, he could have all sorts of problems. But if it's a weapon, it's a pool noodle, he's not going to affect the horror that he inflicted. It is the weapon, because it's not a pool noodle. It's absolutely the weapon. Crudy, you got some of this?
I do. Dom, once upon a time, this very same man, he was down for speaking at a conference where they were advocating to kill the gay. Here is his current stance, number two in this recent interview. Well, Dom Dowie says same-sex marriage is the law of the land.
I heard that about abortion, so forgive me if I don't believe that. I won't try changing that.
Dominic Johnson, who previously was a member of the Louisiana State Legislature before being elected to Congress in 16, has a long history of fighting against gay rights. Handy asked about some of the comments he had made, some in writing calling homosexuality, and I quote, the new speaker, called homosexuality sinful, destructive, and his opposition to same-sex marriage. Here's a quote. I don't even remember some of them.
There's so many things.
Johnson said of the comments, adding that he was a religious liberty defense lawyer who had been called upon to defend state amendments in court. Johnson called himself a rule of law guy and acknowledged that when the Supreme Court issued its opinion, Obergefell versus Hodges legalizing same-sex marriage, that became the law of the land. Yeah, until they overturned their precedent with a new cast of the court. I respect the rule of law, but I also genuinely love all people, regardless of their lifestyle choices.
It's not a choice, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not a choice. People are born gay, sir. Do you understand that? And given how motivated you have been on this topic, how outspoken you have been on this topic, kind of wonder maybe you might get a little, you know, thing down deep inside you've been fighting, man.
Well, that's so often the speculation I would have, Dom. It's they think it is a choice because they've been feeling these these strong urges their whole life. And they've been doing it missionary with their wives, and they've been hating themselves ever since. A little bit more later, Johnson seemed to criticize the fact that, and here's a quote, five justices on the Supreme Court changed the definition of marriage, a clip that has been blasted out by President Biden's reelection campaign.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're getting worse, dude. I mean, they're not getting better. They're getting worse. Number three, Putin can't be allowed to prevail in Ukraine. Though Johnson has recently voted against additional aid for Ukraine, in his interview he suggested he would be open to sending more funding to the Eastern European country as it continues fending off a Russian invasion, as long as it was in a separate package from aid to Israel. The White House has requested $61 billion in funding for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel. Quote, I told the staff at the White House today that our consensus among House Republicans is we need to bifurcate those issues, he told Hannity, referring to a brief meeting he had with Biden earlier on Thursday. We can't allow Vladimir Putin to prevail in Ukraine because I don't believe it would stop there, and it would probably encourage and empower China to perhaps make a move in Taiwan. We have these concerns. We're not going to abandon Ukraine. Well, why you got to separate them? You know, why? Why would you want to separate them? They both, two countries that are at war, need aid. If we're going to provide aid, just do one bill, save time. That's efficiency, right? Right, Mr. Johnson?
Well, that's what Mitch McConnell has suggested we should do. Now, number four, Biden. Joe Biden, the president, very likely committed impeachable offenses.
Of course.
Johnson, who until this week was a member of the House Judiciary Committee, seemed to suggest House Republicans would likely impeach Biden. Well, I thought Comer's done with the
Comer is kind of wishy-washy.
Guano show.
Yeah, well, he says he can get more out of depositions, perhaps, than an open investigation. Because, of course, they look like jacknuts during their committee hearings.
That's a strong word, isn't it, jacknut? Don't be a jacknut. GOP lawmakers launched a formal impeachment inquiry into the president last month. Did they? I didn't think they voted. I thought it was just the opinion of Kevin McCarthy, and he's gone. into the president last month, alleging he accepted bribes from foreign sources in business dealings with his son and brother, but have not produced direct evidence that the president benefited from those dealings. Here's a quote from Johnson, your buddy. If, in fact, all the evidence leads to where we believe it will, and some that you're probably going to have to infer, Dominic, that's very likely impeachable offenses. It looks, it smells a lot like bribery. The evidence is coming together. We'll see where it leads. Where's been this? You have no evidence.
And finally, Crudy, number five from the Washington Post, a stopgap funding bill would have certain conditions to avert a government shutdown.
Shut it down. That's what they're going
to
do.
To avert a government shutdown after a November 17 deadline, Johnson has proposed passing a stopgap funding bill or continuing a resolution to fund the government until January 15th or April 15th. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy took the same approach to avoid a government shutdown last month, and it led to his ouster by hard-right Republicans who were furious that McCarthy had worked with Democrats. Johnson told Hannity that another stopgap funding measure would need to be done with certain conditions without specifying what these conditions would be. Oh, certain conditions, and I've only been on the job for 48 hours, and I don't remember saying all those terrible things about gay people back then. I mean, really? This is the guy. This is what we get. This is... You know, the American Taliban, man.
The earth is
6,000 years old, and religious freedom. Well, we want to be prayer everywhere. We want our religion everywhere, and of course, no, we don't. I don't want that because there's any infinite number of beliefs out there, and you have to discard those in order to, you know, properly judge and manage and govern ourselves. I mean, if every Tom, Dick, and Harry and Sally, Susie, and Jill comes up with a wackadoodle religion, we have to allow for all these different prayers now in the public square. Come on, you know, you keep your religion to yourself. I'm not out here telling you or forcing you through the rule of law, through litigation or through legislation, that you have to believe the things I believe. I don't care if you're a believer or not, but when you try to, through government, force others to believe what you believe, man, I mean, I don't dig that, and that's a very problematic issue for me.
I don't always like your sourcing, Tom, so I've gone over to the Fox News Digital.
Okay.
Here's something interesting from the Hannity interview. Speaker Johnson supports $14 billion for Israel, but says America cannot be dropping money out of helicopters. In other words, no money for Ukraine because we like Pooty Poo too much. A newly minted House Speaker, Mike Johnson, in his Foxy News interview, first television interview since gaining the gavel, said the U.S. stands firmly behind Israel, while back at home, lawmakers and the Biden administration alike must find common ground and acknowledge God is not done, quotes, with America yet.
What?
God is not done with America yet.
Okay.
They're quoting Johnson on Hannity.
Which God?
His God.
Oh, okay.
The only true God.
Oh, okay.
The important one.
I thought it was like Odin.
Now, Johnson told Hannity, and that's also in quotes, the proper name of his show, the House is primed to pro-offer a $14.5 billion support bill for Israel, slightly more than what the Louisiana Republican said Israel via the White House has asked for. They're going to give Israel more than they asked for. However, a key difference between the House appropriation and other federal support is the money will come in exchange for pay force in the budget, rather than simply printing the money. Johnson said the figure is a very specific number tied to very specific measures and that each dollar should be offset by a cut elsewhere, of course. Maybe from poor people.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Who needs those poor people anyway? I mean, if they were not poor, God would shine upon them and they would be rich. See how that works?
Dominic, in terms of potential U.S. military involvement, well, Johnson wanted to remind President Biden the founding fathers, he said, envisioned a multitude of wide counsel in such measures, and that is why you don't in Congress has the power to declare war, not the executive branch.
Okay. We'll call it a police action then.
MAGA Mike wants to be in charge if we're going to intervene in the Middle East. You know, but I'd hate to see it come to that. Unless it has to. War Devils, come back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. And, of course, stick around the Maggie Dawn Show with host Anya Esther. She's going to be lighting it up on Fridays for you at 6 o'clock. We'll get to the phones, 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, you talked about Sean Hannity a little earlier. Here's a guy that can dodge AK-47 bullets at a single bound. Did you hear his craziness?
No, Dick.
Yeah. He basically said, here's how I fight this violence in this country, and I'm a martial arts guy. Oh, okay. So that's how you're going to dodge the bullets going forward.
Wow.
Okay, my grievance... I'm sorry to say, it's Jeffries. The way he hugged him and gave him the bro hug and the smile when he passed this all about optics, guys. I'm sorry. All he needed to do is shake his hand and give him a stern look. My God almighty.
Hey,
he was smiling at him and hugged him.
Let me say this. You know why you do the bro hug? Because when you pull that guy in close, you deliver a message, Dick. Because you don't want the whole world to pick up that message, but you put it right in his ear and you let him know what you're thinking, Dick. That's what I think Hakeem Jeffries did.
Here's what I think. That message will also be, the Republicans will use it. Oh, look, this is a great guy. Look, even Jeffries gets along with him. No, it's all about optics, and it was pathetic. He needed to just give him a stern look and shake his hand. That's it.
Well, I'm going to give you a stern look and bid you a good weekend. Good day, sir.
Thank you, Dick. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Jim from Genesee Depot.
I thought even Boehner was relatively gregarious in handing off the gavel.
Well, I think Nancy Pelosi smiled when she handed the gavel. Yeah. I get it, Dick. I know. They don't deserve our niceties. They're not deserving of it, but, you know, we still try to be nice sometimes. Jim from Genesee County, Europe, welcome. What do you got for us?
I just wanted to comment. First, I love when you guys are in town here, but I never know far enough ahead in time so I can bring you guys down a couple homebrews. Next time.
All right.
But I want to bring up the point how the Republicans always like to talk about the cancel culture on the left, and yet they're the ones who are always telling people that they don't have the right to exist. Mm. Gay people don't have the right to exist. Transgender people don't have the right to exist. People that think differently than they do don't have the right to exist. People who don't want guns in their schools or their churches or their grocery stores don't have a right to exist unless they go get a gun to protect themselves from the other assholes who have guns. Oh, pardon me. Sorry.
Yeah, Jim, it is. That's a great point. You know, they're everything on the social side. Oh, cancel culture, because you know they want to say the things they want to say without getting any blowback. You know, you can't say the N word anymore. You know, you have to be respectful to women. You can't just grab them however you want when they let you do anything when you tick tack up when you're a big star, Jim.
That's just locker room talk.
Yeah, is it? But when the rubber hits the road, and this is real life, man. People are gay. People are trans. You know, whatever, man. Everyone, if you're here, you're existing. If you're breathing, you have the same rights as everybody else and nobody else. And I don't understand at all, Jim, how these Republicans, if you take that belief and embrace it yourself, we're all about it. But you got to take that and throw it on everybody else and mandate, you must be like me, you must worship like me, you must live like me, you must have sex like me. I mean, my question is...
Most people can't keep up with your lifestyle.
This is what I'm saying. But my question is, What? Where do they get off? Where do they get off using the force of the state, of the government, to force you to live that lifestyle?
God.
Their lifestyle.
It's all about God.
Ah, oh, come on, man.
Their God, the right God,
no,
the true and
absolutely
righteous.
Not. You know, God and Jesus, vengeful. None of that's mentioned in the Constitution. That's not a thing. We are not
We're leaving
founded.
Jesus out of this because he's kind of a liberal.
Yeah.
844.
Those hippies with their robes and their flip-flops and the long hair. 844-967-2789.
You can't even let me get the phone number out, you
Pizza Box Mike, you're up. Welcome. Mike, what do you got for
atheist.
Us?
Atheist.
Look, I can point out one really poor lifestyle choice, Mike Johnson, and that is choosing to be a Republican Speaker of the House. What do you think of that, Clown?
I think it's
or
a
even
great observation.
For Republican. Yes, and Jim, by the way, if you ever want to be heard all the way out on the radio, you can say a-hole anytime.
A-hole is allowed. Hey, Mike, you got a show coming up tonight?
Yep.
All right, what time you on, brother?
7 to 8, and we're going to beat the bushes tonight.
Outside the Pizza Box with our pal Mike Dickman. Tune in right here on the Civic Media Network. But don't forget, first it's Anastasia doing the Maggie Dodds show, 6 to 7. And I'm not sure. I don't think we've got any high school sports going out. But I'm pretty damn sure Badger hockey against Minnesota going on WFHR 1320 AM, locally grown radio, and apparently stream you can take with.
All right. 844-967-2789. Running out of time. Let's get him in. Wisco Paul, happy Friday, man. What do you got for us?
Well, thank God we have the Devils. That's sanity. You guys are so cool. Hey, the Megas are running a Republican Party now, and we're going to have to put up this till January 2025. The Megas in charge is, are we going to make it, Dom? We're going to make it to 2025. Hey, you got a great show again today. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Wisco. Appreciate
thank you,
it, man.
Wisco Paul, for having very low standards.
Yeah, we're going to make it, man. Of course we make it.
You know what I'm doing this weekend?
What?
Going up to God's country.
Whose?
God's country.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Going to La Crosse, baby.
Why do you call it God's country?
Because that's what they call it. It's beautiful up there.
Okay, but who's they besides you?
My God told me that's his country. La Crosse, western Wisconsin, the unglaciated area.
Yes.
Specifically, they call it God's country there. My youngest, considering University of Wisconsin-La Crosse is a possible destination.
Oh, no. Is he going to change his last name? There might be a warrant out.
Come on, man. I'm taking him up the campus tomorrow before, you know, the snow is blowing. He's got to see it while it's still colorful.
Oh, sure.
See the bluff.
Yep. Granddad's
and,
bluff.
You know, while the co-eds are still walking around campus, I think he'll be very impressed with the glorious University of Wisconsin-La Crosse.
It is glorious.
And, of course, he has the good sense not to follow his own man
we'll see.
Into the radio industry. A business major like Uncle Nicky.
Oh, well done, sir. Hope you enjoyed. Have a great tour. Thank you, Diane Anderson. She's running for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. Find her at Anderson with an ONWI1ST.com.
And thank you to Alan Robinson doing the 420 Facts on Friday. Thank you to our friends. Find them at HerbalAspect.com, a new sponsor. Have a great weekend. Go Badgers! Beat the Buckeyes. And go Packers. Beat the Vikings, please.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard.